So there are many ways to do this, and it really depends on the individual caregiver. But one thing people can do is arrange for an older person who's able to be transported to go to an adult daycare center. They have adult daycare centers with dementia programs for patients who are cognitively impaired. And a caregiver can bracket that on either end of the day with personal care. So they have a personal care worker. We call these direct care workers. They are the bedrock of home care in many ways. And get somebody ready and set and put them in the wheelchair and get them out the door. And then have somebody there at the end of the day. And then during the day, the person's at daycare and the caregiver can be at work. Of course, it's tough to be at work and then come home. But many people do it very willingly and very happily because that's enough respite for them to have control over their lives. Other ways to do it are to, after an acute illness, Medicare can pay for visiting nurse services or physical therapy or speech therapy if someone has what we call an acute skilled need and is homebound by Medicare standards. And this is covered by Medicare after an acute admission. That can help with wound care, medication management, education of families, physical therapy so that patients can transfer themselves in and out of bed, and speech therapy if somebody's had a stroke and needs help with learning to speak. And once you have that, Medicare will also cover home health aid services as long as those skilled nursing services are in. What Medicare does not do is provide care for patients who are chronically ill. They're designed for acute post-hospital care, or someone who's got diabetes and has a wound and needs to have their blood pressure checked and the wound taken care of and be in there for a certain amount of time to train families. People can be hired privately, and people can get services through the state agencies, elder service agencies that are in the state, and those are based on need and ability, disability, and the individual situation. And there are often sliding scales for their services, including personal care or home-delivered meals or laundry services that pick up and take away. There are services that deliver medications. There are services where you can weigh somebody and check their blood pressure and measure their oxygen in their blood, and that information is sent to the visiting nurse, and adjustments can be made over the phone. There's telehealth monitoring. There are baby monitors so someone can live in the apartment downstairs and see somebody at night. I mean, there's a million different things that people can do. The main point about that is that it needs to be coordinated. And what I would recommend, if there's one thing that I could say to people that have to coordinate a bunch of different services, is to find a care manager or a case manager. These are often nurses or social workers. There's a national organization of professional geriatric care managers, and they know the systems for getting a money manager to help somebody pay bills, to get home-delivered meals, to get home-delivered medications, to find personal care to come into the home. And that really takes a load off. It also takes a load off for people who are, remember, there are many people who are caregivers that are not in the same city, that are managing care for a centenarian grandma in another state, and they can't leave, and they can't take that person into their home, but they can have somebody help them do that as a distance. Of course, those people have to be vetted, and you have to feel comfortable, and they have to be a good match, just as if you had, you know, a nanny coming into your home and watching your the most prized possession, your kids.
And is that a private thing? Somebody would have to pay out of pocket for that care manager, the person that you just suggested that they have?
The elder services agencies in Boston and in the state have case management services that people can access and just call up and say what their needs are. And that's a great start because they're covered and they're, you know, there are sliding scales for those services. So they don't have to be, they don't have to be private. The VA has services that vets can use and their families can access and sometimes don't even know that those are available to them. And the other thing is that there are house calls programs like the one that I work with here at Boston Medical Center, and which our faculty at BU School of Medicine are on, nursing faculty and physician faculty. It's a collaborative care model. We all work in teams with the agencies in the community, and we work in our own teams here in geographic teams, and we train students and residents and fellows what they should know when they're taking care of these patients. There are only 7,100 geriatricians in the country. That's it. And by 2050, people over the age of 65 will be 22% of the population. So part of our job is to really make sure that physicians know this, because in my experience, what happens is that people go to their doctors and their doctors don't know this stuff. One of the competencies that physicians have to learn is systems-based practice, and that's what this is. And we teach that, and we teach it in spades. Every medical student at BU School of Medicine has to do a geriatrics rotation for a month. And part of what they learn and what they see is what can be done at home. And they go, oh, I can't believe the stuff that I'm seeing in the house. I've only seen this in hospitals or nursing homes. And I haven't even seen nursing homes. So they get to see what's on the other side of this big black box of the hospital where they train. And if they do that and take that into practice, then even though they're not making house calls, they know, an eye doctor knows, when he or she sends somebody home to put eye drops in five times a day, and that person lives alone, that they're not going to be able to do that. Or if they're demented, they're not going to be able to do that, and they're going to need to get other services in to help them do that. So training physicians, who often patients and families see as their resource, is critical. And training physicians as part of interprofessional teams and interdisciplinary teams is critical, because that's how we work in the real world.